Good news station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. President Barack Obama meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today as the U.S. intensifies its effort to smash Islamic militants in Iraq and Syria. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
The Israeli leader backs the U.S.-led coalition striking Islamic State targets, but in a U.N. speech Monday, he warned, don't lose sight of Iran and its ambition to build a nuclear bomb.
To defeat ISIS and leave Iran as a threshold nuclear power is to win the battle and lose the war.
Still, the administration continues negotiating with Tehran in hopes of a deal to keep Iran's program in check. One thing that won't be on the table here today, renewed peace talks with the Palestinians. Feelings are running too high after Israel's seven-week war with Hamas in Gaza. Mark Smith at the White House.
Stocks are sliding. The Dow is down by more than 150 points at midday. This is USA Radio.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its five-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its five-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Rebels in eastern Ukraine could be ready to claim a strategic victory. They appear to be closing in on an airport in Donetsk, which has been in the hands of government troops. At least 10 people were killed in the latest fighting as residential areas near the airport were caught in the crossfire. The fighting further weakens a shaky truce that was imposed last month. Two senior lawmakers are urging Secret Service Director Julia Pearson to leave her job. Republican Jason Chaffetz of Utah and Democrat Elijah Cummings of Maryland say they've lost confidence and trust in the ability of Julia Pearson to protect President Barack Obama. Children in Syria have often been among the victims of attacks in the country's civil war, but today they appear to have been the targets. Two car bombs went off near an elementary school in Syria, killing 22 people, including at least 10 children. The first bomb went off as children were leaving school. The second exploded as parents frantically searched for their sons and daughters. This is USA Radio News.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They're your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. A New Hampshire man who tried to sell an 80-pound rhinoceros head online is happy that charges against him have been dropped. Harry Goldenberg of Milton was charged by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2012 with selling an endangered species and falsifying records. WMUR-TV reports in the end there was no proof he broke any laws. Goldenberg said the black rhino head was part of a collection donated to Phillips Exeter Academy in the 1930s. A woman bought it from the school and sold the rhino to him several years ago. He said he still has the paperwork for it. He put an ad to sell it on Craigslist. A buyer, willing to pay $35,000, turned out to be an undercover wildlife agent who confiscated the rhino. A falcon in New Hampshire has undergone eye surgery to remove cataracts and has received new synthetic lenses. Banner, a four-year-old falcon, lost its sight and hasn't been able to fly or hunt for the past 2 years. On Monday, a team at Capital Veterinary Emergency Services in Concord removed the cataracts and put in artificial lenses in the hour-long procedure. Officers in Western Oregon say a suspect they tried to collar at a traffic stop drove too fast for pursuing officers, but eventually he was just too fragrant. Officers launched a search by foot and that's where they smelled the suspect and made the arrest. This is USA Radio News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You're on.
I'm on. Wait a minute. Does that mean you think I'm intelligent, Pastor Tom?
I said you're on.
On, okay.
He's not passing judgment on
me. I know, he's getting better, you know. I still, you know, the haircut, is it growing out or is that looking the same?
He doesn't look like Burl Ives.
The scalp is starting to grow through the hair.
You know, a couple weeks ago you looked like Burl Ives. Now you look more like Kenny Rogers. That facelift is a question.
Now ask me if I think you're smart.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. And sitting with me today is Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA.
Hello.
And forensic CPA. And ex-college professor.
Yes.
That did not teach at what school?
I did not teach at Columbia.
So I got to pick on him a little bit once in a while.
Did you really teach?
I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. Joe actually gave me credit I didn't deserve several months ago. He said I taught at Columbia. So for now on, this is a private joke now. Every time he tells,
is that on your resume now?
I did not teach at Columbia.
It's all about disclosure.
Right. And Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, also called mortgage lender, also called mortgage banker, also called correspondent lender, because in Mike's business, you get different things and you keep adding more and more titles, but you never remove any of them.
Well, my cell phone's going on.
It's a little
entertaining. You got the new iPhone. That's not the 6?
No, it's a Sony. And the reason I got the Sony is it's supposedly waterproof.
When I get it wet on the boat. Have you thrown it in the water yet to test it?
I actually took it in a pool and took some video, and it takes amazing video underwater.
Wow.
This is not a commercial about the Sony phone.
But that's
the reason I got it, and it still works.
Tested it in salt water yet?
They don't recommend salt water, but I think it's a good idea not to put it in salt water.
Well, that's really good.
We just started the show. We're just starting the show.
We're going to have some topics here today. One of the things we're going to be talking about in a minute is IRAs, 401ks, 457 plans. We're going to talk about SEP IRAs. Anybody that's heard things or got questions regarding those things, today is a good subject day because it was coincidental that I happen to have a client today that asked me some questions, and I called my trusted CPA for the answer, and he picked on me because I didn't give him enough information but once I gave him all the information he needed, he then informed me of what I was supposed to know, which I know now. Is that fair?
Yes, I was doing a little edumacating.
So I've been edumacated. So 1-888-221-8990. And if you have questions about financing anything or on reverse mortgages, which, you know what really gets me, Mike? In our group, we have a CPA, we have a mortgage person, which is you, we have a realtor, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, probably the hardest working person on earth that will always return phone calls and does what she says she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have an attorney, Gregory Fasula, who may be the only attorney in the world that I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a fine, gentle person, good person, not pretentious, not arrogant, good listener. And I said to Greg, do they teach you that stuff in law school? And he goes, no. He's the only one I know that I've ever met that is user friendly. You know, and I know a lot of attorneys, and so do you, and they're not competency is a critical word, and most of the guys that I know are competent, but they're not what I would call user-friendly. Some of them are really arrogant and pretentious.
I was on the phone with one of them today, and he wasn't an attorney. It was a fellow CPA who was doing IT work. It was very difficult. How about user-friendly? Difficult to ask the questions that I needed answers for.
Well, didn't we bump into a guy that was a CPA, and he was kind of, not user-friendly either?
Yeah, I mean, he was a very bright man, but, I wanted to know what time it was, and he's telling me how to build a watch.
You ever notice that some people, now this is a really off the wall, but when they're really, really, really smart, the Mensas, they're tough to deal with. Yeah. Because they know everything.
Especially if they're charging by the hour. Then the conversation can go on for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he was used to that.
Oh, boy.
My client, it was a joint call with my client. She cut it off pretty fast. She knew that.
She heard the cash registers cha-ching.
1-888-221-8990. Now, because this is Christian radio, I've got to tell this joke.
Uh-oh.
Pastor Tom, is there a five-second delay here?
He's sweating.
I like it. So this attorney dies, and he shows up in heaven, and here is a red carpet 100 yards long, and on one side of the red carpet there are 100 angels with bugles up in the air, and on the other side of the red carpet are another 100 angels with bugles up in the air, and at the end of this red carpet stands God and St. Peter with their arms out. And this attorney goes, wow, and he walks down the red carpet, and... Now, let me just tell you, folks, not every attorney will fit this description, but I do know a couple that might. So he walks up to the red carpet, and he says, wow, do you do this for everybody? And God looks at him and says, no, my son, but not since Noah's anybody lived to be 300 years old. So it's kind of a rush up here to have somebody like that. And he goes, what? He said, I'm 45 years old. I'm an attorney in New York. I stepped off the curb, and a bus ran over me, and that's why I'm here. And God looks at St. Peter and says, Pete. He said, how can you make that kind of mistake? And St. Peter says, listen, it's not a mistake. I went through every one of his timesheets, and that man is 300 years old.
That was good.
That's not heretical.
That was very
good. I mean, this is...
I like that.
I've had that attorney.
And folks, one thing you're going to find about our group, if it's not like sitting around your kitchen table with relatives, it's like sitting around your kitchen table with relatives that you like. We're homespun. We are not pretentious, arrogant, none in our group. And one thing that if we have a mission, is to help people. We work extremely hard to help people, and you'll find everybody in our group is not out there just to make a buck off of people. We will go to extremes to help people. And every single one, including our attorney, who has gone way out of his way to help many people without being compensated.
I referred, Greg, to one of our listeners. She called after the show last week, had some questions about some trusts, and I referred Greg to her, and I hope that Greg can help her.
Well, you know what happens? One thing about Greg, too, if he cannot help people, he'll tell them flat out. There's a lot of attorneys, as you said, Mike, sometimes we pay them to learn.
Yeah, you pay to educate them.
And it's not really makes us happy.
That gets very expensive.
Yeah. And Vince, I think we've met attorneys like that.
I used to work for the people like that.
Unfortunately, it's a frustration in life.
Well, you know what? It's a part of the culture, really.
Yeah,
I mean, because the young people have to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they put them on cases, and they have to charge their time. Because otherwise, how do they get paid otherwise?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all part of the culture.
Well, we did...
That's the timesheets again.
Back to those timesheets, because the same thing in the accounting world is the same in the legal world.
All members of the group are designed here basically to help people, make them money, save them money, any way we can do it, make their life a little smoother. And in fact, we had Pastor Tom said he had a caller that wanted us to talk about 401ks and IRAs on the phone today.
They called last week, and I think it was last Friday.
Okay.
And they were asking about, the program, and I gave them some numbers, and they were saying what they wanted to know about. They have a 401k, and they were wanting to know about should they put it into an IRA, because they've seen some advertising or something somewhere, maybe in print or something,
give you some general rules. Number one, if you have any kind of deferred compensation that says you can put this money aside and not pay tax on it, the government has all kinds of different numbers that they've got. There's probably 8 or 10 different ways you can do that. I'm guessing, Vince, am I pretty close?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere.
But they pretty much all have the same rules, and the rules say when you turn age 59 and a half, you can take money back out of that account and not pay a penalty, but you have to pay tax on the money, or at least file it with your taxes and show that you made the income. And then if you don't take money out of these things, when you turn age 70 and one half, you have to start taking money out according to the government rules, and they call it a required minimum distribution each year, and the government decides how much you're supposed to take percentage-wise every single year, and that percentage keeps going up until you're 115 years old and you take your last dollar. So
as old as that attorney?
Huh?
As old as that 300?
As old as that attorney. I think that ran out. So anyway, what happened is, here's a fellow that's working, and he has what's called a 401k. Now, a 401k normally means he can contribute money to it out of his paycheck, and then he won't pay tax. Am I right, Vince?
That's correct. It's pre-tax.
And then his employer says, okay, we will match a portion of that. Sometimes it's 1%, 2%, 3%. They set up a formula. So you, Vince, I know, have told every one of your clients, and I've told everybody, if you've got one and they'll match it, you do every dime at least that they match, because that's called 100% on your money.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
So if you can put $500 in a year and they match it with another $500, do it. That's it. So now this person no longer works for that company, and they have that 401k sitting in that company. And then the question is, can you roll it over out of there without paying tax into an IRA, which most of us call an individual retirement account? And the answer is?
Yes, you can. It's more prevalent, though, when people leave jobs.
Right.
Because they're forced then. Many times the plans require them
to take the money out.
So they have to roll it over right. into an IRA.
But some
other
don't.
Than that, why would you want to? Because the 401k, normally, if it's administered by a big institution, they give you a lot of options and so on, that you'd probably wind up outside doing the same thing. So I'd question why you'd want to have it outside when your employer's.
Now, here becomes back to a sophisticated investor. And here's why. The sophisticated investor says, well, my 401k only has 10 options where I can put the money. And some do. Some have 20, some have 30, but some, they have limited investment options. And very often, if they're a sophisticated investor, they may not necessarily like the options, and they may not like the other rules about how often they can move the money with inside the 401k mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. one option to another. Once you're into an individual retirement account, a lot of those 401k rules are gone. But it's back again. Here's the premise. If it's a 401k, my company basically administers it, and they make the decisions for me, except for these investments that are allowed inside of it.
Right. You make those decisions.
You make. If it's an IRA, I'm the only one technically, meaning the owner of the IRA, that makes the decisions where it can go. And I can put it in the bank, I can put it with a broker, I can put it into an annuity contract. I've got lots of places I can put my IRA, which mm-hmm. I can't necessarily do that with the 401k.
No, you're restricted to what the plan offers. I mean, you can't go outside of the plan and invest.
Well, Vince, what's the difference between an IRA and a self-directed IRA?
Nothing.
I don't think there's virtually no difference.
All you're doing they're adding words to it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, the IRA self-directed
that allows you a little bit more opportunity to invest in some other stuff like real estate. And
it depends. It all has to be approved investments. You see, you can't just go out and say, I'm going to go buy a house and put it into my 401k or my IRA or anything. Approved investments have to be approved by the custodian, whoever mm-hmm. is holding your money. They call it a custodian for. I mean, I never have liked that word.
And there's rules against self-dealing, so you got to be careful where you're investing in something mm-hmm. that's the outside of the rules of an IRA to begin with.
Well, you know, I know enough about this topic to be dangerous, so, but the self-directed IRA, you know, from what I read about it, gives you a little bit more latitude as to buying real estate in the name of the IRA, doing personal loans in the name of an IRA. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But where a typical IRA wouldn't let you do that.
Well, it still has to be a custodian who you're holding.
Exactly.
Has to agree to all that stuff.
Yes.
Yes. There are rules to be followed. But yes, you're not constrained to the plan. The plan. The plan mm-hmm. is your plan.
Right.
So, yeah. All you're guided by is the IRS regs that tell you what's allowable inside that IRA right. and what's not.
As right. an example, inside of an IRA, they may allow a mutual fund or a stock account, a brokerage account that could be in all real estate.
Mm-hmm.
That could be all mortgages. Once the custodian approves these vehicles, and there's thousands of them that they can go into. Where I've seen people try before to do, one as an example I know, at a $300,000 IRA, and he wanted to loan himself the money for a piece of commercial real estate.
I think that might be a problem.
Well, I just said, good luck.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. If you can find a custodian that's willing to approve that, because here comes the thing. The custodian has to get these, I mean, here comes back into a CPA and a tax attorney, et cetera, coming up with these rules, and usually these rules have been tested.
There are prohibited transactions.
There you
about
go.
That. There's prohibited transactions. That's the point. You could be self-dealing, for example, on a self-directed IRA. You could put the money in, get your deductions, and then later buy a piece of real estate from yourself, and basically disguise a distribution out of it.
Well, I think it all has to be in the ownership of the IRA. It can't be ownership of you personally.
Well, IRAs can only be owned personally.
Personally, yeah.
Well, the IRA, the retirement account, has to be...
Only owned by an individual. Can't be owned by a
They're
company.
They're owned by individuals, yeah.
Nobody else.
No, but the asset.
The asset is owned by the plan.
Right.
There you go.
And I think that's the difference between the self-directed, where if you were to buy like a piece of real estate, it would have to be owned by the plan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Not the individual.
Well, here comes the custodian again. Okay, that's what they're called with an IRA, custodian. Who's the custodian? The bank down the street can be the custodian. The brokerage house can be the custodian. The annuity company, insurance company can be the custodian. They got like 5 or 8 or 9 different people that can be the custodian, but inside the custodian says, we can only let you invest in that money in X. You can't go and do the new medical marijuana farm.
Right.
Now, maybe they will, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I guess
we'll
know in a few weeks.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know, but approved investments, the ones that I've seen that people have tried to put commercial real estate and use that as the borrowing source, I've not seen one been able to pull that off yet. So I'm not against it at all. I mean, I personally could think about.
But they do allow them to make loans through your IRA?
Well, here comes again.
Because what happens if you make a loan and
they don't pay?
You don't get paid back.
Well, guess what? You just lost your money, didn't you?
your IRA loses the money, right?
Well, it depends. You're loaning to yourself. Well, you're loaning to somebody else.
Well, whoever you're loaning to.
It was no different than any other investment.
I believe a self-directed IRA would let you do a loan, a personal loan, to a non-related individual. You can't lend it to yourself.
I'm going to find out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because this is a great subject. We've never talked about this.
No. And it's esoteric in that sense, that there's a lot of rules.
Yeah,
it's not something you can talk about.
I don't think it's for the average person.
Tax, no. You know, the question I was trying to get to, what would the tax liabilities be? If you've lost money, do you get to write that off?
No.
It
depends.
If you have no other investments. Yeah.
And this was the only thing you had. And at the end, you lost money. Yes, there's ability to write off the difference between your investment and what you got,
even if it's in an IRA.
Mm-hmm. But it's a Schedule A itemized deduction, so there are thresholds to be able to get dollar.
The key is that most of us, when we have an IRA, we either go to the bank. That's the one that most people realize, and the bank takes it and puts it into a CD, and that's now part of your IRA. Or you go to a stockbroker, somebody I know, and he says, okay, we have approved investments. We've got mutual funds and we've got regular stock funds, and we've got all
ETFs,
kinds of
ETFs. ETFs?
Yeah, exchange traded funds. You've got real estate trusts. You've got all kinds of stuff that is approved to be in or held as an IRA. Those are the investments. Now, the average person, unless they're a very sophisticated investor, and Mike over here, he plays in the market and stuff, and he's, you know.
I am not sophisticated at all.
Yeah, but you see, Mike hit on an area that is, as I say, there's lots of rules, and there are people that make their living out of selling these things and managing these things.
Well, it's like somebody setting up a trust for somebody that's worth $50 million, and that $50 million, when they die, $25 million, give or take, has to go to pay taxes. So what happens is the family inherits that business and they have to sell it because they can't afford to pay the taxes. So now comes in this tax attorney CPA combination firm that specializes in high net worth people, and they set up all kinds of different stuff that the government doesn't like because they don't want you to not pay tax. But there are things that are perfectly appropriate and legal that people can do.
Yeah,
I watched one here in town, $25 million. They set up a family limited partnership and two other vehicles, and basically lowered the tax ramifications down by about $6 million. So guess what? It was well worth it, you know, to save that family $6 million when Dad decided to die. Anyway,
well, that's a whole, that comes under the umbrella of estate planning, Joe.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth?
I don't know how many people get that far.
Well, the point is, most people that are running in this $25 to $50 million net worth, there's not too many of them.
No, they have it. These people have their planning done. And they spend $25,000 to $50,000 a year to have managed their money.
Big money.
Yep.
And they have the proper planning, et cetera. It's talking about the average person, Joe?
No. So the average, are we supposed to give the phone number?
Yeah, you got
to
give
what's that phone number?
I think you might want to give that again.
Tom, you know what that is?
Of course. If you're listening today and maybe you have a question about an IRA or a 401k or maybe reverse mortgage or something like that.
Or a SEP IRA or something.
Or something. You might want to call the station right now, toll free, 888-221-8990. And this is a live call-in program today. You can call in and maybe have an answer to your question.
Hey, speaking of mortgages, you know, we were talking this morning on our other program, which we have a program every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WPSL 1590 a.m., just before Rush Limbaugh comes on. We're on, because, you know, I've been trying to teach that boy some things these days, you know. Anyway, and we were talking mortgages and what's going on today and how the real estate market has come back pretty well.
Yeah, we've seen quite a bit of appreciation over the last 12 months. Actually, over the last 24 months, it's gone like gangbusters. You know, I would say, you know, real estate is very local and regionalized. It's location, location, location. You have a good location, we've seen 25% appreciation year after year over the last couple of years. Will that continue? I doubt it. But since the low point of 2009, they say that we have recovered about 30% of our value in our real estate.
There you go.
And in that same article, I've read that by 2018, they'll be back up to the all-time highs of like 2007, 2008.
Really? 2018?
I have my doubts about that because those numbers were really inflated back in the day.
But that's overpriced real estate. If it gets back up to cost of new construction.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're closely approaching that.
Oh, really?
I've been seeing a lot more new construction transactions, and those houses are appraising in okay, where, you know, a year ago we were having some difficulties getting those to appraise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for quite a while, the cost of construction has far exceeded the market values, and that's mainly because of the foreclosures and the distress sales, such as short sales in the market. They've been bringing down the market, but we haven't been seeing a whole lot of that lately.
Has that been running its course? I mean, we can see that just basically.
Yeah, you know, what I've noticed is the few foreclosure transactions I'm seeing out there, there's multiple bids on them. A lot of them are cash transactions. That means there's a lot of investors in the market. But now what's happening is a lot of the banks and like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, they're giving home primary residents, like homeowners, the first shot at the deal. So they're trying to keep the investors at bay. Now, a lot of the individual banks that are selling their properties on the market, they don't care. They just want to get them off the books.
Sure.
But Fannie, Freddie, they have a higher authority to answer to. You know, they're pseudo-government agencies.
Right.
So they're giving the homeowner first shot at them. And there's a lot of good programs out there. There's a website on HUD.gov, and you can look at all the FHA foreclosures out there and what's on the market. You can look by county. You can look by township, zip codes. It'll tell you all
HUD.com.
Yes.
Just that's an easy one.
Yeah, and you could search for properties. I don't have the exact full web address with me right now, but the great thing is you can look at all the foreclosures that HUD has, and they have a special program where you only have to put $100 down. And in the case where the property needs some work, they will also allow you to finance in those repairs too.
Yeah, I heard this. This morning I was talking
about that. That's a wonderful program.
Yeah.
Is that available for first-time home buyers?
It's not limited to first-time home buyers. Anybody can participate in this. Matter of fact, one of our listeners on the show a few weeks ago called, and I told her to go onto the website. She found the house, and it's now under contract. So we're working to get her a home.
You know, what happens is, we were talking about this morning, too, that the pendulum swings from one direction to another. And just not too long ago, we're hearing all these people say, you can't get a mortgage, you can't get financing. Well, there was never a can't, but every once in a while, there are some soothsayers out there that are negative people that I think that try to scare people for whatever reason, I don't know. But I also think, does this mean we have a call?
Not yet.
It just means it's ringing over here.
It's ringing.
Uh-huh. But I can figure this
we're
out.
We're hopeful.
Anyway, all it amounted to was that today, credit scores, Mikey, I think you were saying last week or something that there are some lenders that will come in FHA or VA down into the 500s in a credit score.
Yeah, you know, oddly, you know, FHA really doesn't have a credit score requirement. It's all the lenders that put their own credit score requirements on. And, you know, generally speaking, the bigger the institutions, the more issues they had in the past.
Right.
We call them legacy problems.
Right.
If they had a lot of foreclosures and whatnot, they're the institutions that tend to put the higher requirements on these. There's a lot of new mortgage companies that have sprouted up since the demise of the economy. They don't have the legacy issues that some of these large institutions do. So they, as a result, they don't have to follow all the same criteria. They don't have the foreclosure rates that some of the, you know, larger institutions do. Hmm. So, you know, I have lenders that go all the way down to 580, 540. Some of them don't have any requirements at all. But the key to this is, you know, all these loans today are computer underwritten. You know, we put all the information in, we plug it into FHA's underwriting system. If it spits back an approval, I pretty much have a lender that can place that loan. So it's not, and it's not all predicated on credit score. Hmm. You know, it takes the whole picture into account.
Computer stuff is an interesting part. We were talking about Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and what he does for clients. In fact, a living testimonial sitting next to us, and Mike Polis, that he got his insurance renewal. And what did they do to you?
Well, my insurance went up from $3,200 to $3,700, and I have my insurance with Dan. And every year he has a policy of reviewing all the policies and see what has changed. So I had a $500 increase. He was able to shop that around. And because he's an independent agent, he was able to get me a new policy for $1,800.
Whoa.
So I jumped on that, of course. But, you know,
of course, it's a reputable company.
Yes, it is. And
Dan will only deal with state, what do you call them? They're companies that are authorized to do business in the state of Florida, number one.
Yeah, but that's not the best part is today I opened up my mail from yesterday and there was a check for $300 because it was misquoted. My policy actually went down to $1,500.
Oh, now that's a heck of a testimonial for Dan.
So, and you know, I'm sure you can't do that for everybody, but that just shows you the importance of dealing with an independent agent because they have the ability to shop that around to
Has like 80 companies he deals
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Yes. That was the whole object of us putting our group together. And in my opinion,
only your opinion, John.
Only my opinion, our group sits kind of at the top of the heap of all the rest of the people that are out there. One, we have nobody that's brand new in business. We've got people in our group that are 35 years in business. We got a mortgage guy who is one of the youngest people in our group. It's only 25 years in business.
That's it?
You know,
no, he was that inexperienced.
Ms. Victoria Lloyd's been in real estate since 1980, and she's only 30 years old, so I don't know. It's kind
she's
of a miracle.
Only 30. I don't know how that happened.
She came out of the womb with a contract in her hand.
I think so. So the whole object of what we've done, we're trying to do, is to put together people that are not new in business, that have credibility, and most importantly, have integrity. That we're striving to always do the right thing for people, even for Pastor Tom.
Yeah. He's sitting here with his hand on his face, looking like he's ready to go to sleep.
I think we're going to lose him here. I've got to wake him up every once in a while.
Did I say something?
Right. So, hey, 1-888-221-8990. How much time we have left, Pastor Tom?
Oh, about 26 minutes.
Wow,
we got a lot of time.
1-888-221-8990. 221-8990. Any questions you might have to do with taxes, 401ks, IRAs, rollovers, transfers, there's all kinds of different words that we use. Anything to do with mortgages, whether buying a house, selling a house, reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. Mike still got, isn't all of Martin County qualify for that USDA program?
Oh, I have some great news about that. You know, I don't think we talked about it much on this show, but we have a program that's 100% financing. It's through, of all things, the Department of Agriculture, the USDA. Most people think they just stamp meat, but they also have a loan program. And the purpose of the program is to take care of or fulfill the needs, the mortgage needs of rural or undeveloped areas. And the way that works is it goes by the population and the square acreage of the county. So Martin County, up until recently, qualified for as a rural area. So all of Martin County qualified for this program. Not much of Palm Beach County and very little of St. Lucie County. But they were actually today they were supposed to change the maps and probably exclude most of Martin County. But we got notice from USDA that that program is going to be continued unchanged for everybody. So for the time being, we have 100% financing available in Martin County with very good terms, 30-year fixed. Very small mortgage insurance payments. A matter of fact, if you compare that loan to a FHA loan, your payment, you'll have less out of pocket up front with the USDA because it's 100% financing, and the mortgage payment will be lower.
What happens is, one of the things you can do with Mike, you can talk to him on the phone and he'll give you all this information over the phone. None of us are charging anybody anything for conversations over the telephone. And if we can finally help, there's obviously some cost involved that nothing we can do. Because that's called how we make a living,
mm-hmm.
you know. Right. But you know, the bottom line is, and here's a lot of things that happens in the mortgage business. To me, I take it for granted. If I'm going to go out and want to buy a piece of real estate, well, I don't want to go look for the real estate first. I want to find out what I can afford. So I find out what my mortgage person says I can afford and what my payments are going to be based on that. Because if I have an income of X, I usually only can qualify for so much. So if I'm looking for a $300,000 house and all I can afford is a $200,000, my mortgage person is going to say, hey, this is where your limits are. So yeah. That's one of the very first things you should do is get
Absolutely.
A hold of mm-hmm. do that.
I hope that you come back, though, Mike, and tell us more about this USDA program. Who's eligible? What's eligible for financing?
Yeah. You said that was good for Martin County. It's not good for St. Lucie, Okeechobee,
well,
and other counties?
Here's what they do. They go by the density of the population. And up in St. Lucie County, because we've had a tremendous amount of growth over the last couple of decades, and that's basically east of the Turnpike. So all those areas east of the Turnpike, east of I-95, they don't qualify for the program any longer just because the population has exploded so much. And, you know, you can say that the same thing happened in Martin County, and that was the proposal that they were going to cut off everything east of 95. For the program,
but was it only for homes, for land, for
no,
farmland,
it's just
or
primary residence?
It's just for primary residence. It wasn't meant to finance farms,
okay.
It wasn't meant to finance like the mansion on the beach.
Okay.
What they do is they have income limitations for the program. You know, for a household of four, you have to make under $75,000, but which is still a great income.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you know, for a household of four. $75,000 income, if you have, you know, relatively marginal debt, you know, small amount of debt, you can qualify for the $400,000 range. So you can buy quite a bit of house with the program.
Wow. That's very interesting.
There's actually it's one of the few loan programs that does not have a loan amount cap. But it is capped by the income. So whatever that income qualifies you for is what you're limited to.
So it's not like the jumbo loan that we'd see in a conventional
loan. No, but let me give you some ideas here. Like the FHA has a loan limit of $316,000 in Martin County. Now, USDA doesn't have a loan limit at all. So
I don't think
if you started looking at like conventional financing too, they have a loan limit of $417,000 in the county,
jumbo, yeah.
In this area. There's other parts of Florida that qualify for a bit more. But there's no limit on the USDA. So you can qualify, actually, what we would consider a jumbo, not like a super jumbo $600,000 loan, but probably a little bit over 400,000.
Hey, and by the way, folks, if you have any problem getting through, we had a whole bunch of calls, and we've only got one person answering the phone, and she can't answer them real fast. You always can call the radio station even after the show, and Pastor Tom or his wonderful, magnificent assistant here,
Connie,
we'll then take your name and number and have us call you back, and you know, we'll do the best we can to help you any way we can. It doesn't have to be on the radio live, even though we love talking to you live.
If you'd like to ask a question right now about mortgages or finance, the number to call here, toll-free,
888-221-8990. And that USDA program, it's really a magnificent program for this young couple starting out.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because usually they're not making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you know what? And you know, even if you make over $75,000, but if your household is like if you have five or six people in the household, that income limitation, it cap goes up to $95,000. Mm. So imagine what a $95,000 income can qualify you for, possibly $475,000.
Wow. I think we have a call. Got a call. Oh, we do. Yeah. Hey, let me just fight. Here we go. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I was wondering what the requirements were if my husband and I would like to purchase a home, but he has tax debt. I don't have any, but he makes the majority of the income. Is there a way to mortgage a home?
Are you talking about tax liens?
Right now they have it on hold. He just owes the debt.
Okay, we're not concerned about that. As long as you're making the payments according to the repayment terms, then it doesn't go into a lien. But however, I've seen the IRS blatantly put liens against everybody who owes money. So that does become a problem because an IRS lien supersedes everything on real estate. You're not protected by homestead exemption when there's an IRS tax lien. So mortgage companies tend to be a little squeamish when there's an IRS lien.
Do you have a program right now where you're making payments to the IRS on this back taxes?
I think he does. We've only been married a couple of years, and this is the first year I filed with him. Because I didn't want to be liable for the debt, to be honest with you.
I understand.
The prior debt. So this is the first year, and I think he owes. They took the credit that he got towards the debt, and I think right now, I don't know if they put it on hold, said that he's, you know, eligible, you know, not able to make the payments or whatever based on his income, but there's no liens on anything.
Well, the best thing to
do. I don't know
that
he has a program.
Yeah, the best thing to do is to run a credit report and see if there's an IRS lien against you, because if there isn't any, we don't have any issue with that. It's when it gets to a lien situation when it becomes a problem.
When you called in, did you leave your name and number with the lady up front that took the call?
No, sir.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is we're going to put you on hold here, and we'll get your name in the mic and talk to you after the show and see what we can do. So you're going to hang on just a second. Pastor Tom is going to try to operate this phone. You watch. It's going to be interesting. If we lose your call back.
All right, thanks.
You know, that's the one issue that comes up and that we have no control over is when the IRS has a lien against you.
They have a priority.
They are numero uno.
So why would you want to lend in that scenario?
Okay, you there?
Well, guess what? I'm here.
We're all here.
Okay.
Pastor Tom, I'm glad you got the... we got a phone system here that nobody can figure out. Yeah, interesting. But literally what happens is the best thing...
Call?
I think you have another call there.
You think so?
Hit the button, Joe.
Would you hit the button?
No, not there. Okay. Well, we made some changes to the phone system satisfy one of our clients here at the station.
And that was Vince Rosino complaining. I was doing fine. And you really did well.
Well, it works.
It worked fine
sometimes.
When the guy was
it works here. Sometimes, right? You know, I have a couple of kids like that. They work sometimes.
Well, if we can get the string from this room to the other room, tie
the string.
The Campbell soup can to her here.
Caller, you're on the radio. It's Joe Martek.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question about taxes. Is that okay?
You got it.
Yeah, certainly. Hit us.
Okay.
Not literally.
Let's see, I'm helping a neighbor, and she's paying me $10 an hour. Now, am I understanding right, if it's less than $600, I can just say that on my tax return as miscellaneous income?
Okay. Yeah, the rule is that the $600, by the way, is a threshold for filing 1099s. That doesn't mean that if you make $600 or less, you don't have to report it. You do have to report the income no matter what you earn, but of course, you do get to write off expenses against that. So if you're self-employed and you've got expenses in connection with earning that money, you can deduct that from that $600.
So bottom line is, any you have income, and you're supposed to report the income on your tax return. And
I know that. I was just saying, can I just report it as miscellaneous income?
Because
I don't want to become an independent contractor.
Well, is this a is this considered a business for you?
No.
You're not. It's not a business.
I'm just helping a neighbor to earn.
Okay.
Some
money. Yeah. You could be other income.
Being a babysitter, right?
Yeah, it could be other income for you.
Miscellaneous income would work, wouldn't it, Vince?
Yeah, sure, it would work.
Yeah. So,
and I don't need any like 1099 or anything.
Well, the 1099 would come from the payor. Responsibility rests with the payor to issue that 1099 to you.
But if they didn't issue it,
you still have an obligation to report it.
So what you do, you don't have to have them give you the 1099, but you can say, hey, I earned this $1,500, $700 last year as a babysitter, or miscellaneous, pick a number, and it'd go on your tax return.
Okay, so that's all I have to do. What's the limit where I have to have a 1099?
Well, it's 600 or more, and that's when that's what the payors are obligated to
give you
a 1099.
But let's say they don't.
Well, if she's
an elderly neighbor, so she wouldn't, you know.
Well, then I say the obligation falls onto you regardless of the 1099.
Yeah.
Maybe she can help him complete that form, though.
Absolutely.
What happens is this.
We could do it for the elderly person. If she needed to file a 1099, certainly our offices or any CPA could help.
Anybody could help you do that. See, and that would make everybody would stay 100% above board if you did it that way. And then it's an easy thing for Vince's office to do.
Yeah, I don't want to put her on the spot, though. I mean, I'm just trying to earn a little extra money.
Your bottom line is you're babysitting, let's just use that, and you're making under $600 a year or whatever. And then you just report it, I made $550 or $700 last year, even if it was over $600, without getting her in trouble. Because you could have had, Vince, you could have had two or three different people you're babysitting for, dog sitting for, or whatever you're doing, right?
Right.
And they don't have to give you.
Yeah, I'm just helping her, so I wouldn't let her pay me over $600.
There you go.
All right. Well, there you go. So then that was don't let her pay you $600, $599 and less.
Okay.
And 99 cents.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's so confusing. You know, I just want to make sure I do the right thing.
Well, exactly, and it's wonderful, and the government loves you to death because not everybody would try to do the right thing, but you are doing the right thing. But understand this. Miscellaneous income is no difference if you were babysitting, dog sitting, and you picked up, whatever the amount of money is, you just file it on your tax return, and the odds are decent. You're not going to have a problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990.
I got a 1099 for winning a fishing tournament a few years back.
Yeah, you must have made too much money.
Really?
It was over $600.
Yeah, $600 or more.
But I had to split that with my crew, but I still got the 1099 alone.
Did you give other 1099s out from you?
I ate the fish, though. They didn't. I didn't have to pay tax on that.
Don't you realize every fish you've ever caught cost you about $100 a pound?
Well, that's why I ate it.
Well, the idea there is to give them a 1099, unless it was less than, obviously it was less than $600, or maybe it was more than $600.
Well, let's see. By the time I added the fuel for the boat and the bait and the hooks,
the whole thing off.
There's expenses involved.
Okay.
I think he might have, and let me tell you what, as I just said, every fish you've ever caught, he and I've ever caught.
That 1099 would only apply to one individual. If you were, if this lady was working for this person and someone else, and the total of that was to exceed $600.
No.
Remember, the 1099 requirement is the employer or the person
from the individual
engaged,
she's
from the
working.
Person that you're working
so
for.
So if she made $1,200 from,
$1,100 from three different people, they individually probably wouldn't be required to
unless one of them
Was over, she exceeded it. Okay. Yeah. But then she'd still have an obligation.
Now, what about miscellaneous income on a tax return? If someone cleans out their garage, they sell the stove, they sell this.
That's miscellaneous income.
Do they have to?
Yeah, but there's a cost.
I mean,
there too,
they paid $800 for the stove. They sold it for $300. Do they have to claim that as income?
Let me say this. The government would like you to claim everything as income that you can. But some things, like if you sell your car, you bought it for $1,000 and you sold it for $500, you took a loss, but you got to use it for 5 years and you might have depreciated it. You're supposed to pay that back.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of rules, but a garage, you know, it's like I was up in Tennessee and I go into this little town. It's in the poorest county in the whole state. Nobody is really working, but the whole town was one great big garage sale. Everybody swapped everything. They bartered. Nobody was poor. It was barter. They were giving stuff back and forth. Now, is the Infernal Revenue like barter? Probably not.
Well, they don't care, but I said they don't care. They don't mind if you do barter, but you have to report the barter exchange.
There you go.
You can't, you don't get away with it just simply because we exchange, you know, I'll give you my services and you give me your services and we make believe it didn't happen. No, the IRS doesn't work like that.
They don't like that.
They don't like it.
So what happens is, do you think that everybody that barters reports that?
I have no idea.
You know,
see, my clients do.
Of course. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990.
Hey, Vince.
What's the rule I used to say to my kids? Okay, well, before you answer, let's assume Jesus is standing right here. Now what are you going to say?
Bless me, Whoops. Father, for I have sinned.
That's right.
Well, you know, Pastor Tom, last time I walked on water, it was
you
frozen.
Told me
it. It was frozen. You know, it's a life's an interesting journey, is it not? And you know, it trying is. To do the right thing is a very difficult
I
thing.
I applaud them.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 6 minutes or so. If somebody would like to call and get that last question in, the number here is 888-221-8990.
Well, I do have a question for Vince, though.
And there, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call anytime after the show, any day, and talk to Pastor Tom or his able assistant.
Connie,
and she will take your name and number and have us call you back or whatever you prefer.
But Mike has a question.
Mike has a question.
My question is with about, again, IRAs.
And oh, back on that.
Back on IRAs.
He's trying to get this self-directed
No.
Well, I got to do more research on self-directed IRAs, but go ahead.
No, but I'm kind of wrestling with the idea now. I mean, at an age of 50, I'm 50 years old now. You don't look that good for 50.
You know.
That's because I'm in the mortgage business.
Okay.
At least he's not in jail.
Anyway.
That's true.
There's a lot more.
There's different types of IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
At an age of 50, what would you recommend? What kind of IRA would you recommend?
That's a loaded question.
Very loaded.
Because the circumstances differ. I'd have to do a financial analysis with you. You know, what your goals are, what you have now, what should be a Roth IRA, should we be a deductible?
How many employees do you have?
I mean, he's talking about himself.
No, I'm just talking individually.
I'm just saying.
Individually.
Now, have you thought about a 401k?
You know what? I'll leave you my number after the show.
No, I was wondering.
Call me and we'll talk about it.
I'll set you up with a 457 plan.
Is it better for a younger individual to take a Roth?
Okay, let's talk generalities. Generally speaking, yes. The younger you are, the longer period of time you have of an investment horizon, the more beneficial I think a Roth would be to you because, you know, those things come out tax-free to you when you ultimately take them out. As opposed to other forms of investments like the IRA. If you do an IRA, if you do a 401k, yes, you get an immediate tax benefit for it, but then down the road, you've got income taxes.
You don't know what the rates are going to be then.
So I like to try to customize a plan for a person, but it depends on age, income, what the rest of your earnings look like,
right.
And how much do you need to shelter.
Is there an income limitation on that? How much you can put into an IRA? Is it different for a Roth versus a standard IRA?
Yes. The Roth IRA has income limitations and depends on your marital status. For example, a married couple filing jointly with an income of $178,000 maxes out. If you have income above it, you can't put any money in a Roth IRA. So there are limitations.
Is that adjusted gross or taxable income?
That's a good question, Joe.
It's not gross income.
No, it's not gross income. It's taxable income.
Got to be taxable income.
Yeah. So you can't
take a cut and pay, Mike.
Yes.
Oh, you're looking at the wrong person.
So you'd want to look at that. You might want to mix if you had you can do an IRA and a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
And a lot of people do.
I look at people when they talk about it and I say, look, age is not the most important thing. Here's the projection. At 70 and a half, if you have an IRA, you have to start taking money out. How much money are you going to be making when you turn 70 and a half? Are you going to have a couple hundred thousand dollars a year worth of taxable income when you hit 70 and a half?
Probably not.
So the key is this. Are you making a good living now and you're trying to not pay tax, then you can put money into a deferred plan, mm-hmm. and you're not paying tax on it now, and you can take it later. Now, there's people that there's certain programs you can put $25,000, $50,000 a year aside and not pay tax on it. But then when you turn 70 and a half, you have to start paying. Well, sometimes it's worth it when you're making, we know doctors that are making $500,000 a year, and they're going to try to not pay tax, so they put as much as they can aside, because when all of a sudden they're not practicing anymore, they don't have a vested retirement plan.
Yeah, they can take it out at a much lower tax rate.
That's, and well, we don't know what the tax rates theory, are going to be.
But we don't know what the tax rate is going to be. In fact, a lot of the pundits will tell you that that's a myth, that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket.
We just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, but most people aren't, because they need to make more money to survive.
Well, if they put it in tax deferred and take it out later, wouldn't the tax be upon how much they take out at that time?
Of course.
Yes, it's always that's depends on your withdrawals.
If when you're 70, you're only making $50,000 a year, and when you're 40, you're making $200,000 a year, well, do you know what you're going to be making when you're 70 is a good question. Most of us are not going to be making as much retired as we were when we were working. So very often, if you're making a lot of money when you're working, you don't want to pay tax on it. Then you put it into these retirement vehicles that are tax deferred. And then you start taking it out when you're old and don't have much income. That can work.
Well, that could be your only source of income.
That can be.
Or some people are fortunate enough and do their planning right, they can have equivalent income when they retire, if they do their job right.
The whole thing is, first, you got to make enough, one, don't spend it all, two.
Right, exactly. it's
don't know, have ex-wives.
And try to put 10% of your income a year away in something.
So you give 10% to the church, put 10% away, and if you did that, quote, religiously, the odds are pretty good that by the time you're old enough to retire, you're going to have a pretty good nest egg.
Yeah, but you raise a good point. You really don't know what the tax consequence will be 10, 20 years down the road. So
you don't.
So you're guaranteed, you know what your tax savings would be now with a regular deferred income.
Right, because you save the tax dollars now, mm-hmm. yes. And most people don't care. It's the allure of, oh, well, later on, down the road, I'll pay the tax. Who cares? Mm-hmm. I'll be in a lower bracket, so it won't matter.
All right, we've got about 1 minute left.
We just don't know for sure what the rules
are. But everyone is unique, Mike, seriously. It's unique, and you can't give a pat answer. You really need to talk to client by client, see mm-hmm. what the situation is.
Let me talk just for 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Anybody that's, look. Are you flashing these cards because you're being?
Yeah, no, we're out of time.
Are we really?
You got about 15 seconds.
You went to a minute down to 15
well,
seconds.
Well, we got
five
so
seconds.
Enthralled in the discussion here, I forgot to look at the clock.
1-888-221-8990. You talk to Pastor Tom after we're gone, and he will take your name and number, or Connie will, and we thank you so much.
Thank
for
you very
listening.
Much, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is WCNO, Palm City.